Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Good evening, everybody. My name is Adedayo Babalola, and tonight we are going on a phenomenal teaching, you know, that I believe will change your life. I want to encourage you tonight that you, as we go into this teaching, you know, you get to invite someone, right? Because this particular teaching will be a blessing to you, right? Just before we pray, I'm just going to give you 1 minute to get to it. You invite, you know, somebody. Let's get into hearing God's word tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful teaching tonight. Okay, let us pray right now. Father, we believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We are edified and your name is glorified in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So we are looking at a teaching tonight that we have titled The Gospel in Genesis. Now, very, very important teaching, because this book, the book of Genesis, is one book that every believer must understand. A couple of things I want to say as we go on. I would encourage that if you are a new believer, the book of Genesis is not the first book you should read, because there are a lot of things that needs to be explained to aid you in understanding what is going on in that book. Amen. So, you know, so even as we go into the book of Genesis today, what we want to do is we want to understand this book. Is this book just a book of history? Is this book just Moses just trying to say something? What exactly is Moses actually trying to say when he actually is talking about things he's talking about in the book of Genesis? And that's why, you know, it's called the book of the beginning. And that's what we're going to be looking at it today. So we want to look at a couple of things that are quite important that we need to see before we get into the book of Genesis. So the first thing I want to say is that the book of Genesis was written by a man called Moses. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. The book of Genesis was written by Moses, and we're going to look at the purpose behind the writings of Moses as explained by Jesus. Very important. So let's start off there with the book, Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, I will be reading verse 25. Luke 24, verse 25. All right, I'm in verse 25 now. Are you there? It's a, "And he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." I'll say again. He says, "O fools, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken." So the first thing is, number one, the prophets said something. Please write that down. Number two, Moses was the first prophet that wrote something down. Number three, what the prophet wrote, we are to believe. I'll say it again. Number one, the prophet wrote something down. Number two, Moses was the first prophet that wrote something down. Number three, please put this down. What Moses wrote, we are to believe. So look at Luke 24, verse 25. It says, "O fool, slow of heart to believe." So the people he was talking to, this is Jesus talking after he came out of the grave. He's saying, wow, because these people were wondering, they were concerned, they were perturbed about the fact that Jesus Christ, right, had died. And then he was telling them that, wow, my death and resurrection was what the prophets from the beginning have been talking about. How come you're so slow you cannot see it? So he says, "O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Look at verse 26. "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory?" So he's saying, write this down, the prophets. I'm in Luke 24, I'm now in 26. The prophets wrote something down. What they wrote down, we are to believe. We are now in chapter 26. What did the verse 26? What did the prophets write about? The prophet wrote about Christ. I want you to write it down. If Moses is the first prophet that wrote something down, and what Moses wrote, we are to believe. And we have said what Moses, now we have said in verse 26, that Moses wrote about Christ. What did he write about Christ? Verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? So the book of the prophets will be writings about the sufferings of Christ and the glory thereof. Meaning what? The fact that Christ had to suffer and the benefit and implication of his resurrection. Right? So the Bible now tells in verse 27, and beginning at Moses. Who is Moses? The first prophet that wrote something down. So when it says, and beginning at Moses will be Genesis. So the question will be, what is Genesis talking about? Genesis will be talking about Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection to give us life. Very important. I'll say it again. Look at verse 27. Genesis, it says, I'm beginning at Moses. Who is Moses? The first prophet that wrote something down. Moses wrote the book of Genesis. So Jesus is telling us very clearly that when you look at the writings of Moses, it doesn't matter what you are literally reading. That writing of Moses is really talking about himself, Jesus. Very important. So verse 27 says, and beginning at Moses, meaning beginning at Genesis, and all the prophets. So not only Moses wrote about Jesus, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, all these prophets of the Old Testament, they wrote about Jesus. So he says, I'm beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded, he explained. That word expounded is opening up of the womb for the very first time. So he opened them up. He opened their understanding in a way that has never happened before. He expounded unto them in all scriptures the things concerning himself. Please note what I'm saying down so you can write it down. Jesus explained that the books of the prophets were about him. Genesis is what? Genesis is a book of the first prophet. That prophet is Moses. So when you are looking at the book of Genesis, it must be clear that it is talking about Jesus. Why? Because Jesus said it is talking about him. Luke 24 verse 27. When you then start to say the book is talking about any other thing outside primarily of Jesus, there's a tendency to get into error. In the book of Genesis, you will see many things there. But you must remember the purpose of the book is Jesus. If you miss it, when you start to read the book of Genesis, as we are going to be showing ourselves, we'll be showing you things from the book of Genesis and telling you what they mean. You say, no, it doesn't mean that. Number two thing I want you to note today, as you are going to see in this 10-week series, is the fact that we are going to be showing you things in the Old Testament and using the New Testament to explain them clearly. So you will see exactly what they mean. Now, this is very, very important because there is nothing that I'm going to say here that I will not show you from the scriptures. Right? Very important. So we have started off this teaching so far to say only one thing. We have established that Jesus said the writings of Moses was about him. In fact, let me show you in the book of John. John chapter 1. Please open to John chapter 1, verse 43. I want you to see clearly before we go into the book of Genesis that everybody agreed that the book of Genesis was talking about Jesus. Look at John chapter 1. I want us to read verse 45. John 1, 45. Now Philip was at Bethsaida. That's 44. Let's read 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Are you seeing it again? This man is saying the man that Moses was writing about has come. So Moses wrote about Jesus. So where is the writings of Moses about Jesus? It will be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers will be books talking about Jesus. Are we in agreement so far? I just quoted John chapter 1, verse 45. It says, "And he findeth him and said unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write about." So the writings in Genesis are peculiar. They are about somebody. That person is Jesus Christ and the life that he will bring. So you can write this down. Genesis is a writing about eternal life. Very, very important. Genesis is a writing about eternal life. Look, okay. Genesis is a writing about Jesus. We have made it so clear. Let's look at John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Because everything we are saying here today, we will be showing you from scriptures. John chapter 5, verse 46. John 5, 46. Look at it, says it again. For had you believed Moses. Remember where we started off from? Luke 24, verse 25, would have said we should believe the prophets. So the prophets wrote something down. They wrote about a Jesus that was to come. The assignment of their hearers in their day was that they should believe. Are you getting it? So, but a lot of them did not believe. Now look at it here. Look at verse 46. Jesus is speaking in John 5, 46. For had you believed Moses? So Moses said things and wrote things down that needed to be believed. And Jesus is telling us clearly they did not believe Moses. Look at it. For had you believed Moses? You will have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how will you believe my words? Very important. Jesus said, this is not Pastor Dyer. This is not something that I'm trying to form up. Jesus said, Moses wrote about him. Are you getting the point? So the writings of Moses are primarily about a person, and that person is Jesus. No matter how they look, Jesus has said it. The writings are about me. He said, in fact, if you had believed Moses that the writings was about me, now that I've come, you'll have believed me because Moses was writing about me. Is that very clear? So we have been able to establish a foundation that no matter what we get into Genesis, whatever we get into in the next 10 weeks, the foundation is clear that the book of Genesis is about Jesus and the eternal life he brings. It's about eternal life and eternal death. It's about light and darkness. That's what the book of Genesis is about. Right? Okay. Now that we have had this foundation so far, let us hopefully go into the book of Genesis. So let's go. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning. Let me wait for you to get there. You shouldn't struggle to get to Genesis chapter 1. It's the first book. It says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. That's what it says. Right? Are we together? So it means something. It means God existed before the beginning. Because in the beginning, God was there. Does that make sense? Right? That is why he is the creator. The creator must exist before the created to be creator. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So God exists before creation. Why? He is the creator. So he says, in the beginning. So Moses starts off this narrative with in the beginning. Okay. Pause there and let me show you something about the beginning. Look at the book of 1 John. This book, the beginning, the book of Genesis. You know, a lot of people always say funny things like, you know what? There were many people that existed as human beings before Adam. It is not true. It's not true. Right? Let us, when we stick with the Bible, we do not become doctrinally insane. When the Bible says the first man, then you say, no, it's not true. The first man was, no. The first man, right? Adam was the first man. Amen. It's quite strange we have to say these things today, but Adam was the first man. You know, people always say, no, there are some people before Adam, then the world was created. It's not true, right? He says, in the beginning. So let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. What is the book of the beginnings talking about? What is this book talking about? 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 11. What has been the message from the beginning? We have said this message is about a person called Jesus Christ so far. Then now we are looking at 1 John 3:11. It says, for this is the message that we have heard from the beginning. So when you look at Genesis, what is Genesis trying to say? John has decided to summarize it for you. Are you hearing me? Okay. 1 John 3:11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So stop. The message of the beginning, please, I hope you are writing down, which is the message of Genesis, is the love of God to man that man ought to receive that he can love his brother. I'll say it again. The book of Genesis is a book about God's love to man that man will receive and then in turn love his brethren. Look at it again. 1 John 3 verse 11. For this is the message that we have heard from the beginning. So in the beginning there was a message. Please write all these things down. You will need it later. In the beginning there was what? There was a message. What was the message in the beginning? The love of God. So the love of God towards mankind was the message in the beginning. I don't want to go ahead of myself. So what will have happened to Adam? God preached the message of the love of God to Adam. Adam and his wife rejected that message and brought in death. Amen? But forgive me, I'm going ahead of myself, but I'm trying to show you something here to say the verse 11 says, for this is the message ye have heard from the beginning. The message of the beginning is the love of God. Amen. So Genesis is about God's love. God's love that he gave. What did he give? He gives life. We're going to get there. Please follow me ever so closely. It says, for this is the message we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 12. Not as Cain. Well, not as who? Not as Cain. So who is Cain? Please write it down. Cain will be an example of a man. Who is Cain? Cain will be an example of a man who the love of God was preached to, and he rejected. Cain will be an example of a man who the love of God will be preached to, and he rejected that love. Look at verse 12. Now, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one. How did he become of the wicked one? The message of the gospel was preached to Cain. We are going to get there, but I just want to show you that the message of the gospel is about the love of God. The message of Genesis is about the love of God. So Cain was somebody that the gospel was preached to, the gospel of God's love, but Cain was a man who rejected God's love, who rejected God's life, and wanted to have life by his own works. That's the story of the gospel. Let me say it again. Cain was a man who the message of God's life was given to, but Cain, as a man, rejected God's life and wanted to have life by the works of his hands. Legalism, right? So, for not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. What happened to Cain? Cain rejected the love of God. He rejected the life of God. And in rejecting the love of God and the life of God, he became captured by the evil one. He slew his brother. Look at it. It says, because his own works were evil and his brother was righteous. Right? So, I hope I'm not taking this too fast. But I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 3 now. Or Genesis chapter 4. Just to show you what I mean. Genesis chapter 4. We are only in Genesis 1, where I said in the beginning. And I've said in the beginning is really talking about the message of the beginning. The message of the beginning is about the love of God for man. What is the issue with man? Man wants to have life by his own ability, by his own works, and thereby rejecting the life of God. In rejecting the life of God, he brings death upon himself. Look at Cain, right? Genesis 4. I'll be from verse 2. And I'll read verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Look at verse 2. And she bare again his brother Abel. So there are two now. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Look at verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. So Cain offered something to the Lord. The offering that Cain offered is symbolic of Cain's response to the message of the gospel. Are you getting my point? So the message, everyone in the scriptures is just talking about how God preached the message to them. So Cain, the gospel was preached to Cain. But Cain responded by not saying, I am embracing the love of God and embracing the life of God. Rather, Cain brought his own works as the way to have life. A man cannot have life by his works. No man can be justified in God's sight based on works. Cain was trying to be legalistic. He rejected the life of God and then wanted to actually have life by his own works. And he was rejected. You getting the point? And the Bible then says in verse 4, and Abel also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. So when he says God had respect unto Abel and his offering, it's not as if God likes cow. God does not like what Cain brought. It's a symbolic way of saying Abel believed the gospel and Cain did not believe the gospel. Are you getting my point? Let me show you in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is a book about all those who believe the gospel. Now, I know that this is a very, very, we are going into the Bible to see some things, but it will help your life. Hebrews 11 verse 1 talks about faith in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Faith in Jesus Christ is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through it, the elders obtained a good report. So what is it saying? It's saying they preached the gospel of a Messiah coming. The elders believed it. An example of the elder that believed it, you can see it here, verse 4, is Abel. Now, by faith, meaning Abel believed. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. What was the real thing with Abel? Abel believed the message, just like with everybody in Hebrews 11. Right? So my point is, the message was preached to Abel and Cain. Abel believed, Cain did not believe. Now look at it. What did they preach to Abel and Cain? The love of God towards them. What were they meant to do? Accept that love. What will happen to them when they accept that love? They are able to love one another. Amen. What did Cain do? Cain rejected the love of God. He rejected the life of God. The life of God is what brings the love of God that makes men love one another. And when he rejected that, what ends up happening to Cain? He becomes a murderer. He kills his brother. Amen. So look at it again. Look at the book of Genesis chapter 4. I hope I'm not going too fast. Genesis chapter 4. Right? And we are in verse 5. But unto Cain and his offering, God did not respect. And Cain was angry and his countenance fell. So what was happening? Cain was trying to be righteous based on what he was doing. But God says no. Just like many people today. Many people today think their righteousness is based on what they do. But God does not fellowship with us based on what we do. God fellowships with man based on what Christ has done. Are you getting the point? That is the same problem. It has been like that from the beginning. Cain is a man as well who wanted to fellowship with God and get eternal life by his work. Legalism and performance. A lot of people today are under the yoke of performance. They are under the yoke of legalism. They think God likes them more because they do more. They think they are God's favorite. In fact, many people preach these things and drive people in a merry-go-round. They are chasing their tail, wanting to be loved more when God already loves them. The message is that God loves you. You receive that love and you are meant to love other people. The Bible here is showing us very early the story of Cain, a man who they told about the love of God but rejected the love of God but wanted to perform that God may love him. And God says, no, you don't perform to receive my love. You receive my love simply. That's the story there. So look at it again. The Bible now says to, in verse 5, that Cain was rough. He was angry and was depressed. So the first depressed man in the Bible was Cain. Look at it there. That Genesis 4 verse 5. His countenance fell. He fell into depression. I don't know if you have met people like that before. They have done everything they think they need to do so that God will like them because they have been told that if you don't do this and this, God won't give you a child. If you don't do this and this, God will not love you. God will not bless you. God will not do this. God will not do that. So these people have ticked all the boxes in the world and they are still looking for one blessing or the other and they cannot find it around them and they are hopelessly confused. They are angry. That's why this message is important. Some of them have left church. Some of them are upset. Some of them are just actually carrying on with what is called Christianity because they think, what else are we to do? Why is God so high on his standards that he keeps saying we should do this and this and everything he even keeps saying we should do, I have done. There are many people like that. So they get into a point, they get depressed. They are of the lineage of Cain. Why? Cain is depressed. What does God do to Cain when Cain is depressed? God comes to Cain and says, look at verse 6. Notice, he could hear God. Just an aside. Verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you angry? Why are you depressed? Verse 7. If you do well, you will be accepted. So God even came to Cain again and said, Cain, why are you so performance driven? Why are you so interested in actually showing off what you do to be accepted? If you do well, what does it mean to do well? If you simply receive my love, you will be accepted. Because no man can be accepted based on his deeds. Man cannot produce life based on his deeds. Look at it. After God had this conversation, God, that's why sometimes as a minister of the gospel, don't get depressed. Do your work, do your job, pray for people, lead them, bless them. But some people will not believe. I feel that I'm speaking to a man of God who end up listening to this, you know. Don't judge your performance by some of your disciples or some of the people in your local church that maybe have turned out bad. If we do that, we actually have to judge that Jesus too turned out bad because of Judas. The point is, even God, the Almighty God, actually ministered to Cain. That is how strong man is. God ministered to Cain. Cain, he preached the gospel to Cain. Cain received life. Cain rejected God. Right? So I'm saying to you, but it was a 50-50. Abel believed God. Cain rejected God. Even somebody, some people say, if Jesus Christ appears, they will believe what he says is a lie. Human beings are like that. They are wired that way. They are wired to have choices. So this God went to Cain and spoke to Cain and said, Cain, this is the way. That is why the heart of man is very deep. The heart of man. And God is so loving that God gives man choices. Look at it again. He came to Cain and said to Cain, and the Lord, why are you angry? Verse 7, if you do well, you will be accepted. But if you do not do well, sin is lying. God even told him what will happen. If you reject me long enough, you will enter into sin. You would embrace the devil. You would embrace evil. And you would do evil works. Guess what Cain did after the powerful preaching of our Lord? Guess what Cain did after God preached the gospel? God preached the gospel to Cain. Cain still went on and rejected God. The minds of men. That is why, as a believer, you spend your lifetime praying for people. Why? Because the mind of men is deep. This will be the way men will go the other way. And they don't care. They will. Okay, look at it. The Bible says, right? If thou doest well, thou will be accepted. If you don't do well, right? Sin light at your door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Look at verse 8. After the preaching, have you ever actually, as a minister or as a disciple, or as a, you ministered and preach to somebody now? You told somebody this is the way, and the person looks at you, he's nodding his head like he's following what you're saying, and goes and does the exact opposite. The mentor is Cain. Look at it here. The Bible says, and Cain, instead of Cain, to hear the message of the gospel from Abel. Because when Abel believed, Abel became a preacher of the gospel. What happens to Cain? Look at verse. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass that when they were in the field, Cain rose and killed his brother. Look at verse 9. That thing that God said will happen to Cain, happened to Cain. He told him, if you continue like this and continue with... That's why legalists are dangerous people. They start off with a good heart, but they cause a lot of damage. Why? Because they have relegated God to performance. It's about what I do, and they don't care. And that's why the Pharisees were dangerous people. When Jesus Christ came, they could not recognize him. When he was doing good things like healing people on the Sabbath day, they were angry because it was for them. It was about do. Not gracious in their approach in anything. Very wicked, very vengeful, legalism, evil. I want to perform to be accepted with God. The spirit of Cain. Look at it. Cain goes and murders his brother. What they told him will happen to him happens to him. Look at verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, the Lord still came to Cain, where is your brother? And he said to him, look at it. Am I my brother's keeper? How did we know that Cain had rejected the life and the love that God gives? Because the life that God gives gets men to love one another. The life that God gives is the love of God. The love of God gets you to love one another. What happens to Cain? They come to Cain. Cain is not remorseful. They come to Cain and they say to Cain, Cain, where is Abel? What does he say? Am I my brother's keeper? What is the gospel in Genesis saying? The gospel in Genesis, write it down, is saying, God has been your brother's keeper, so you should be the keeper of your other brothers. What is the problem with Cain? Cain rejected the love of God and did not know what it meant to be his brother's keeper. He killed his brother. Are you getting it? Let us go back to 1 John. 1 John. We have not even entered Genesis. We're just right looking at in the beginning. And I went to 1 John and I said to you from verse 3, chapter 3, right? It says, this is the message we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain. Verse 13. Look at it. In verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. So there are two things that will happen that you should see. Abel received the gospel. He received the love of God. He is a lover. But there are many people who will not receive the love of God. They are called people of the world. What did people of the world do to Cain? They killed Cain. What did people of the world do to Abel? They killed Abel. So he is now telling us, just like you see in the book of Genesis, where Abel is killed, when a man rejects the love of God, evil dwells in him and he can do evil works. So they are telling you right from, that's why sometimes people marvel. He already tells you, marvel not when you see killing, stealing, evil. Why? Men have rejected the love of God or the life of God and they do evil works. Look at it. It says, verse 14, 1 John 3:14. We know we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. So what will Genesis, the book of Genesis, be talking about? The love of God that makes me love the brethren. It says, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So what did Abel have? He abided in the life that God gives, He abided in the love of God. He doesn't kill his brother. What does Cain have? He doesn't have the love of God because he rejected it. What will he do? He will do evil things. Look at verse 15. Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. So he's still talking about Cain and Abel. He's still talking about the love of God. He's still talking about Genesis. He now says, you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So what was happening? What was the issue in Genesis? The issue in Genesis is simply that God wanted to give his life to men who did not have his life. Are you getting it? God's intention was to give his life to people who did not have his life. What did these people do? This one of them rejected, as we see with Adam. What did Adam do? Adam rejected that life initially. What did Eve do? Eve rejected that life. Eve rejected that love. Eve and Adam were people who wanted to actually perform to be right. I'm going to show you that later or in another teaching. But what did he say we have here? Look at verse 15. 1 John 3:15. Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So there is the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God leads you to loving men. The knowledge of God is the love of God. It leads you to loving men. The book of Genesis is telling us about this life, that when a man does not receive it, it turns into evil. Look at the book of 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse 1. What are we talking about? We might not even get into Genesis today, but I need to see the foundation of what the book of Genesis is all about. 1 John 1 verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. So in the beginning was what? A message we have heard. So what is Genesis about? It's a message. Let it be consistent. A message of what? The love of God. All right, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon. We have seen with our eyes, we've looked upon the word of life. For the life was manifest and we have seen it. So in the beginning was a message. That message is about a life. That life became a human being called Jesus. Are you getting the point? So the message of Genesis is about life. Will man receive life or will man not receive life? Right? You see that in verse 2. It says, we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and manifested to us. So the message from the beginning was there is life for man. Amen. Okay. Look at verse 5. This then is the message we have heard of him. You can see, I'm showing you where it talks about the message. And declare unto you, what is the message in Genesis? God is light. Anybody that wants light must come to him. Outside of God is darkness. I can say it in a better way. God is life. Outside of life is death. Anybody that wants life is to come to him. That is the message. This is the message we have heard from the beginning and declare unto you. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Praise God. It's the same thing. I've been reading 1 John since. I'm going to read the book of John quickly, and then I'm going to try to enter the book of Genesis. I will try. Look at the book of John. We are looking at something. We have looked at many things. We are going through scripture. We need to understand Genesis clearly. Look at John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. Are you seeing again the beginning? So he's trying to explain it again. In the beginning. Just the same way we saw in Genesis. In the beginning. So what was in the beginning? He says in the beginning was the Word. That word, Word, write it down. Word there means logos. In the Greek, it means idea, intention, purpose. In the beginning, God had an idea, an intention, a plan, a purpose. In the beginning was an idea, an intention, right? And the Word, the idea, the intention, the plan, the purpose was with God. Right? And the word, the plan, the purpose was God. Look at it. The same was in the beginning with God. So God had a plan and an intention. So from the beginning, God had one intention. Right? Okay? All things were made by him. So this plan, this purpose has become a him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Look at verse 4. In him was life. So that logos, which is the intention, the purpose, the plan of God. The plan of God was a life. The plan of God was that God will give life to man. In the beginning, God's plan was to give life to man. Let me say this clearly. The plan of God, remember, you see it later in this teaching. Genesis chapter 2 from 7 to 9, the Bible says, and God made Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life. That made him alive. So Adam was a human being. Adam was born. The Bible calls him a living soul. But Adam did not have eternal life. Adam was made from dust. The intention of God was that Adam will have life. However, God could not make Adam have life by forcing him to have life. What happened was that God had to make Adam choose. If not, God would have been a robot. But unfortunately, you know the story. Adam rejected God, same with his wife. So Adam, at that point, did not receive the life of God. So what my point is, in the beginning, God wanted his logic, his plan, his purpose was that man will have his life. Man will have his love. So Adam did not have that life. Though created by God, he was created from the dust. So the Bible will say, from dust did you come, from dust you would return. Why? Because the thing that will make man like God, eternal, was with God, and man needed to receive it freely. That's what God wanted to give to man. From the beginning, from the foundation of the world, God's plan was that man will have life. But as you know, Adam was made a living soul, and they put in front of Adam life. And what, as we see in our next teachings, Adam rejected life. And that's, okay, let's go back. John 1, we are in verse 4. In him was life, and this life was the light of men. And this light is the only one that can extinguish darkness. Man was not eternal when God created him. Man was a living soul. Man actually did not have eternal life. God's plan is that man will have eternal life. But for man to have eternal life, man must hear a message and receive that message. When he receives the message, he would have life. But man rejected that life. So in the beginning is the story of the gospel, of how God presented life to man and man rejected that life. Is that clear so far? Now, let's try to go into the book of Genesis. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning. You have heard about the beginning a lot today. So, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Please stop. Remember, if you have been following me through this teaching, I said to you very, very clearly that when you are looking at the book of Genesis, it may look like it's talking about history. It may look like it's talking about animals. It's a message about Christ. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. It tells us this book is about Christ. So when it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, what was happening? Where is heaven and where is earth? Please follow me. Somebody will say, Pastor Daya is not really interested in going to Genesis 3. Follow me to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. Where is heaven? What is happening? Isaiah 66. What am I doing in Jeremiah? Pray for me. Isaiah 66. Our time is fast spent and I've not even entered anywhere. Isaiah 66, look at verse 1. Isaiah 66, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord. Are you there? The heaven is my throne. So please write it down clearly. Heaven is anywhere God reigns. Amen. Heaven is the unseen realm where God reigns. His throne, his house, his home. Heaven is the hope. Don't, when I'm saying heaven, don't look at sky. That's why you will see Isaiah in a dramatic fashion. He's talking about the throne of God. Then he now starts to talk about building. Look at Isaiah 66. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. So the heaven is where God reigns. The earth is the visible, the earth will be where man reigns, the footstool of God. Okay? He says, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. When he finishes that, you see a colon. Are you in Isaiah 66, verse 1? Where is the house that you will build for me? So when he talks about heaven, he's talking about a house. So when he's, what then will be heaven? Heaven will be where God reigns. Are you getting it? Anywhere that has eternal life is heaven. Did you get that? Anywhere where God reigns is heaven. Okay. He now says, where is the house you will build for me? Where is the place of my rest? Where God rests, where God reigns, where eternal life is heaven. You can also add a realm unseen. Right? So, when we say heaven, heaven is not really talking about a location. Heaven is talking about is talking about a quality of life. Heaven is not a location first. It's a quality of life where God reigns. Yeah? I mean, a lot of people sing this song, he brought heaven to earth, but they still would not agree. Well, heaven is where God reigns. Then where is earth? Earth is where man is. See, then he starts to talk about the earth. He says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So, and the earth there will be the heart of man. So, the Genesis here is telling us about man without God. And the earth was without form. What is the earth without form? The heart of man that has not received the gospel. Say, Pastor, how do you know? Okay. Isaiah 51, verse 16. Isaiah 51, verse 16. I am showing you these things so that we can enter Genesis and enjoy it. Isaiah 51, verse 16. How is heaven created? How is the dwelling place of God created? How is where God reigns created? Look at verse 16. And I have put my words in your mouth. He's talking about a preacher. And I have covered thee with the shadow of my hand. I will protect you, that I may plant the heaven. So how will heaven... I am going ahead of myself. How is heaven made manifest? Heaven is a place where God reigns. But for God to reign and make heaven and make earth heaven, a preacher must come. Are you getting it? And preach the message and convert it to heaven. So he now tells us here, I have put my words in your mouth and covered thee in the shadow of man, that I may plant the heaven. So it is with mouth heaven is planted. Let me break it down to you. When a man does not believe the gospel, he is called earth. He is called darkness. Remember where we are coming from. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1 verse 5. So we are now in Genesis. Genesis is now telling us that there is darkness. It means God is talking about a place where God,
doesn't exist. Amen. He's talking about a place where God does not reign.
So we are now seeing it in Isaiah 51 verse 16. I have put my words in your mouth and covered thee with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundation of the earth. How? And say unto the people, thou art my people, Zion. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Let's go back to verse 2. And the earth, the heart of man, was without form. The heart of man did not have God. Are you getting it? And darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's another way of explaining the heart of man did not have God. Right? Then he says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What is happening there? This is going to be explaining how the darkness in the earth, or the darkness in the heart of man, becomes light. So there is a man. This man does not know the gospel. He is called earth. He is called darkness. And what happens here? And then the Bible says the Spirit of God moves. And God said, that and God said, let there be light. We'll be talking about a preacher preaching the gospel to that man who is in darkness. That man will hear the message. If he believes the message, the heart that is earth, that is darkness, that is without form, will become a heart flooded with light. That heart will become heaven. Did you get what I just said? The Bible says, and God saw the, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. That's talking about the ministry of a preacher preaching the gospel to the heart of a man, and that man believes, and that man turns from darkness to light. Remember, God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. I said, Pastor Dio, who brought this truth to you? Was it in the middle of the night when you were sleeping? It just came on you, and God said, no, Genesis is not what all those scholars have been saying Genesis is. Genesis is about the gospel. No, that's not what happened. I always allow the Bible, interpret the Bible. All right, let me show you where I saw what I just said. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Open there so we can close tonight. So when you hear in the beginning, there was heaven, there was earth. Two types of places that will ever be. Where God reigns, where God does not reign. The heart of man where God reigns is heaven. The heart of man where God does not reign, death and darkness. The answer to the darkness in the heart of man is let there be light. Let there be light is the activity of a preacher preaching the gospel. When he preaches the gospel and man believes, light enters that heart. God says that light is good. Amen. You get it so far? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Somebody will say, Pastor Dio, what in the world? Why are you teaching us all of these things? If you don't understand the first book in the Bible, it's a part of the Bible. You need to understand it. But the summary of it is that it is talking about Jesus and the light that he brings. Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Please, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves. Remember I told you when I said to you, let there be light, is the activity of a preacher. This is where I saw it. Amen. For we preach not ourselves. That means not every message is light. If I tell you, bring 14 pounds so that God will give you 140 pounds, that is not light. Let there be light is the activity of a preacher preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. His death, his burial, his resurrection. The light of the message of Christ. That is what disarms darkness in the hearts of men. In fact, let us read verse 3. It's very clear there. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So Genesis 1 is talking about salvation. Someone will say, oh my God, Pastor Dio, don't run my brain crazy. I didn't say so. The Bible is saying so. That's why I always say, read the epistles before you read Genesis so it can make sense to you. Look at it. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Colon. Let me explain. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of the man that does not believe, Lest the light. Are you seeing it now? That man's heart is in darkness. Why? He did not believe. What is the message? Light. But the man did not believe. So that man's heart is in what? Darkness. Just like Cain. And what does that man end up doing? Evil works. You getting it? He says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. So Genesis 1, 1 to 3 is talking of how the glorious light of the gospel comes to the hearts of men to change it from heaven, earth to heaven. To change it from where God does not reign to where God reigns. Amen. Let me say it again. The plan of God was God will make a creation. That creation will not have life, but that creation is to choose between life and death. Because if God is going to not be a dictator or have robots, men must choose. So God creates man and gives him ability to choose. That, and God has life. But what does man choose? Man does not choose life. Story of man. Amen. Yeah. And everybody is to independently choose life. So the truth about it is that if Adam actually chose life, and his children come and then choose life, God at some point will have had to still die to repair the heart of man so that man can choose life. You getting the point? So it's not about Adam. If Adam didn't do it, Tokumba would have done it. One person would have rejected God and his salvation would have been needed. Have I cleared that point? Yeah. Because everybody must individually, independently choose life. Amen. All right. But Adam, the first person, helped us anyway. So we're here. Amen. In whom, verse 4, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, you see, who is the image of God, should shine. So when he says, let there be light, that's the message. That's why I want to encourage anybody that is preaching the gospel out there today. What are you doing? You are preaching light, the message of light. And it's only your message that can make the hearts of men shine. It's only your message that can change the hearts of men from darkness to light. Change them from earths to heavens. He says, I will plant the heavens. I will put my words in your mouth and I will plant the heaven. I want to see every minister, every disciple, every man, every woman who is preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ as one person that is planting heavens, planting. And in your ministry, in your assignment, in you going out and preaching the gospel, you will meet Abels, you will meet Cains. You will meet men who believe the gospel. You will meet men who will not believe the gospel. Let me show you where I saw all I just said so far. He now says in verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ our Lord, and ourselves as your servant for Christ's sake. Look at verse 6. That's where this whole scripture, let there be light, comes from. It says, for God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Are you seeing it? At shine in our hearts. So where is the light shining in Genesis? It's the heart of the man that believes the gospel. The glorious gospel, right? At shine in our hearts to give the light. So let there be light is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I'll say it again. When he said, let there be light, what was he talking about? He was talking about how the gospel how the gospel of light comes forth. Let there be light, and there was light. That light will take away darkness. How will that light? Where is the destination of the light? Look at verse 6 again. For God, who has commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Where is the destination? When the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, when it says in verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Who was he talking about? He was talking about a man. He was talking about a man that has chosen, that did not have the gospel. And that man, the gospel is actually shared with him. And that man, he says, let there be light, and there was light. That man believes the gospel. And that man walks away from darkness forever, and that man has light. That man has life. The story of Genesis, early days, in my introduction, I've shown you the story of Genesis. The book of Genesis is about a man, a Jesus, a God, a lover, a life, a light that he's bringing. That man is to accept. The destination of this message is the minds of men. When men believe this message, the heart of that man shines. The heart of that man becomes heaven. The heart of that man becomes the dwelling place of God. If that man rejects the gospel, that man is dwelling in darkness. And from darkness, evil works begin. I hope you have, although we have just looked at a foundation in this particular teaching, I hope you have learned something about the book of Genesis as we have studied this foundation. Till I come your way again next week, we're going into beautiful territory on the issues concerning the book of Genesis. Ensure you get somebody in who will look into it, and all those things that look like whale, this, that, they will now start to make sense to you. Because this book, even Genesis, is not a book about many things. It's a book about Jesus. Till we come your way again next time, God bless you and have a good evening. Amen.